Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection, and I hope that you've been enjoying our study as we've been talking about the authority of the apostle and the nature of their ministry. And what I'd like to do is kind of close out that little section before we continue on in this passage. But if you've been looking at the scriptures with us this week, we are in Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read the section and then kind of remind you what we've been talking about this week, and then we will pick up on the last part of this issue of authority. So Luke chapter 9 verse 1 says the following. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrips, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Whatsoever house you shall enter into, there abide and thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that had been done, and he was perplexed, because he had said unto some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias has appeared, and of others one of the old prophets has risen again. And Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this, of whom I hear such things? He desired to see him. Now, if you can remember the last 2 days, I've emphasized there are three words that we are going to focus in on this week. The first word is the word authority. And yesterday morning and the day before, we looked at the ministry of the apostle and specifically the authority that God gave them. The second word is the word verification, and that word verification is ultimately connected to demonstrating that the authority that they claimed is an authority that they truly possessed because Christ gave it to them. And then lastly, we're going to look at the issue of focus. So tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll look at verification. Then on Friday, Lord willing, we'll look at focus. But I want us to wrap up this section on authority. We've talked about the unique ministry of the apostles. And so in verse number 1, he says, he called 12 disciples together, gave them power, gave them authority. And then in verse number 10, it says, the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. This passage is all about Jesus giving authority for a specific ministry to a specific group of people that he called out. He appointed to this task of apostleship. And so what we are going to do this morning is we're going to talk about how their ministry is something that continues to today. Now, when I say that statement, you have to hear out all that I'm saying. I'm not saying that we're continuing to have an apostolic ministry through the apostles physically amongst us. The apostles were a group of people who lived in the first century, and their ministry took place in the first century, and it's done. It ceased when they died, in one sense. But in another sense, their ministry continues, not through new apostles, but through the preservation of the ministry that they had. And you say, well, Joel, how was their ministry preserved? Well, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because in these verses, it tells us how their ministry was preserved and continues to this day. Listen to what Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. He says, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now don't miss the details of what Peter is saying. He says, I know that I'm going to die, and after I'm dead, I want you to have a preserved account that you can go back to and you can remember what I've said and you can remember what I've written. Now, this is an objective standard. This is Peter's apostolic ministry, which is primarily about giving us the scriptures. His ministry is being preserved. And when we say his ministry, the emphasis is not so much on Peter and his ministry as much as Christ's ministry through Peter. And so when he talks about the scriptures, he says, we, the apostles, were eyewitnesses, but what we're recording, what we're writing down, it's actually more sure than what we have remembered and what we have witnessed and we've tried to recall. He says we've not followed cunningly devised fables. He says no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. He says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what Peter is saying is what we've written as an apostolic record that is preserved is objectively true. And the ultimate source isn't our remembrance and our recall and our wisdom. It's actually the Spirit of God working through us. The reason that we say that the scriptures are inerrant, we mean without error, and they are perfect and pure, is because the purity isn't so much about Peter and Paul and John as much as it is about the Holy Spirit. He's working through these men, and he is the source ultimately, not them. So then the question that we ask next is, well, if that indeed is what the apostles have done, then what is our responsibility as it relates to this issue of their ministry, objectively written, preserved, and now we have it available to us today? What is our responsibility as Christians? Well, I'd like us to look at it primarily from the standpoint of those who are in the ministry, those who are pastors and those who are teachers. And then from those who are pastors and teachers, it really filters into every single believer, someone who handles the Word of God. And the answer is that we are responsible to read it, to understand it, to internalize it, and then to proclaim it, articulate it with clarity and consistency with what it is, what was originally written. It needs to be consistent with that. Notice what Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. When he says the servant of the Lord, I think he's meaning primarily those who are in Christian ministry. Now, the servant of the Lord could be a pastor, could be a missionary, could be an evangelist. The servant of the Lord could be dad, okay? The servant of the Lord could be a mother in a home. There's lots of different areas. Primarily, he's thinking of those who are in pastoral ministry, but really, anyone who's in a position of authority, who has a responsibility to teach the word, they need to follow this pattern. He says he must be gentle, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. What is the emphasis of the Christian minister's job? Well, his job is to teach the word of God. He has to be apt to teach, in meekness instructing, patiently doing this. And then he says, if peradventure God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil who has taken them captive at his will. What's his point? His point is that the way that a person is liberated from the entrapments of Satan and his devices is through the preaching and teaching of the scriptures. And so when he says that he needs to be apt to teach, he's saying, teach the scriptures. When he says, in meekness, instruct those who oppose themselves, he's saying, teach and instruct out of the scriptures. He's not emphasizing the Christian minister's inerrant authority in and of himself. He's talking about the authority that he holds in his hands, that he preaches and he teaches. Another example, 2 Timothy 3:16. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning every word is breathed out by God. That's what it literally means. And he says it, the scripture, what is breathed out by God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And so those are the different avenues through which the Word of God is able to work in us. It gives us instruction. It convicts us and it confronts us when we're wrong. It helps us to get things right. It helps our lives to be built on the truth. And I love the next statement. He says, that the man of God may be perfect, that is thoroughly matured, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That last little statement talks about the sufficiency of Scripture. Sometimes you've heard people talk about the Scriptures being the sole authority, sola scriptura. Okay? We're saying that the final authority for the Christian in all matters of faith and practice, it's the Scripture. Why do we say that? Because the Scriptures, every word, are the very words of God. Written, preserved, translated, we can read them, we can understand them. When we handle the scriptures, we're handling God's word, not just our pastor's opinion or Paul's opinion or Peter's opinion, God's word. And so the scripture emphasizes this in many, many places in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 1, he says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, where did the doctrine come from? Came from the scriptures. Or in Titus 2:1, he says, speak the things which become sound doctrine. What does he mean by sound doctrine? It's teaching that is consistent with the Word of God. And so the point of this little study here is that the apostles' ministry does continue to this very day. Not because they're alive today, or not because they've passed on the baton to a new generation of apostles who pass it on to a new generation of apostles. That's not what the scripture teaches. Their ministry continues because God used them, like he used the prophets of the Old Testament. He used them to write the Word of God, perfect, preserved for us today. And when we read the scriptures, when we preach and teach the scriptures, when we internalize the scriptures, what are we doing? We are building our lives, or we are exhorting people to have lives built on the apostles' doctrine, which comes right out of the scriptures. You say, well, Joel, what are the implications? How would we apply this? Well, the way that I would apply it is by two texts of scripture that I think are very important. The first one is from the Old Testament. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, it says this, so they read the book of the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense, and they caused them to understand the reading. That Old Testament example is Nehemiah getting up and having the scriptures read. And when they read the scriptures, they had to explain what the scriptures meant. They had to apply the scriptures to the people. And what we are looking at is an example of what we would call expositional teaching or expositional preaching. We read the scripture, we interpret the scripture, we explain the scripture, we apply the scripture. That is what we do. We do that because of the scripture's authority. Acts 17:11, another example. They were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What did the Bereans do? Well, the Bereans listened to what Paul had to say, and they read the scriptures for themselves, and they went back and they compared. They said, is what Paul is saying consistent with the scriptures? And if what Paul was saying was consistent with the scripture through that verification, then they accepted it, they embraced it, they submitted to it, they said, we want to live in the light of it. And that's what every single one of us should be. We should either be teaching the word or sitting under the authority of the word, or maybe doing a little bit of both depending on what God has called us to do. That's the implication. So the authority for the church is not a pastor, is not a missionary, is not the head of a seminary, some Bible scholar. The head, or we could say the authority of the church, is entirely rooted in the scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. That's why expositional preaching and teaching are so vitally important. Because what we do when we preach and teach the word expositionally is we try to get out of the way as much as possible, and we let the scriptures speak plainly for themselves. I hope that this has been a challenge to you this morning. I pray that in the church that you attend, if you're in our church, I pray that every time the Word of God is open, you say, that's what my pastor does. He exposes the Scripture. You need to pray for those who take the Word of God to others. Pray that they will be faithful in these areas. This is desperately needed in the church today. Hope that you have a blessed rest of your day. If this has been an encouragement to you, please share that. Perhaps share it on your Facebook page or another place so that other people can have access to this. And Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to look at the second side of this, and that is the issue of verification and how the apostles' ministry was verified. Have a blessed rest of your morning. Bye now.